1 Samuel, chapter 24. You will definitely need your Bible this morning. We're going to be doing a lot of reading from God's Word this morning, and I'd like you to follow along with us in the study. 1 Samuel chapter 24, if you didn't bring your Bible, there's Bibles available for you in the back there underneath the tapes. We continue the life of David this morning. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. Lord, we submit ourselves now to your word. Lord, we admit that there are things that you ask us to do in this life that are extremely difficult. Very, very hard for us to do some of these commands, Lord. But you require it of us, and you have promised to help us. Lord, help us to obey you, even the tough commands. And I ask, Lord, that you would take this morning to heal relationships, to drive away bitterness. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christian life is definitely not for the weak-kneed. It's definitely not for the faint-hearted. To live the Christian life, it takes great strength. It takes courage, it takes tremendous faith, and it takes tremendous sacrifice. Because, you know, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are commands in the Holy Scripture that we are to obey, and they are absolutely contrary to our natural tendencies as people. In fact, they fly right in the face of our sinful human nature, and they fly right in the face of what we see other people doing around us in the world. Tough things. Example, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Our natural tendency is to protect ourselves, to save ourselves, to satisfy ourselves, isn't it? Bible says deny ourselves, lose ourselves. The verse that I mentioned last week in Philippians chapter 2, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Our tendency is to be self-centered. Bible tells Christians to be others-centered. Listen to how Jesus defined greatness in Matthew chapter 23. "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Greatness is servanthood? Man, our definition of greatness is power. How many people serve us? Humility? That's greatness? Those commands cannot be obeyed by the natural man. They take the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, don't they? It takes Him working in us to obey commands like that. Well, there are some other challenging commands in the Bible concerning how Christians are to treat enemies. And that's our subject this morning. How do we as Christians deal with enemies? And we have a great example with David in his life, and we're going to study how he dealt with a very tough enemy in his life. If you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 16, David was anointed by Samuel the prophet to be the next king of Israel. Now that won't become a reality until 2 Samuel chapter 5, when David's 30 years old, some 15 years after he was anointed by Saul to be the king. And the single greatest obstacle that stood in his path to the throne was the first king of Israel, a man by the name of Saul. Saul was jealous of David. Saul hated David. Saul wanted David dead. Three times Saul threw a spear at David to pin him to the wall. Saul tried to manipulate David. Saul tried to get David killed in a battle against the Philistines. Saul tried to kill his own son Jonathan with a spear when he stood up for David. Saul told his own son and other servants in his courts to kill David. And in chapters 20 through all the way through 31, Saul is hunting David down like a dog in the wilderness, trying to find him, trying to kill him. And David's forced to hide out. Folks, Saul made David's life miserable for 15 years. He was his number one dedicated loyal enemy. It was serious business from a serious enemy. How would you treat a guy like that? How would you treat someone like that in your life who was so dedicated to destroying you and making life so difficult for you? What if you had the opportunity to pin that person, to really sock it to them, end it? Would you take it? Would you do it? Well, David has that opportunity in chapter 24. And let's read what he does. Look at verse 1. It says, "Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, 'Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi.' Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats." David is in a place called En-Gedi, and that's actually a very beautiful place. I've been there. It's just outside the Dead Sea, and it's a little canyon that has a natural spring in it, and there's water holes, and there's a creek that goes all the way down. It's like a tropical paradise, right in the middle of the wilderness. And as you walk up that creek, and you look on either side, you see cliffs, and you see caves. Lots of caves that you can explore. And David is hiding in those caves. Saul finds out about it, and he takes 3,000 men to hunt David there and find him and seek him out there. Verse 3, "So he, Saul, came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave." Saul finds this cave and he goes in to attend to his needs. By the way, that's a polite way for saying bathroom break. And what a coincidence. He takes a bathroom break. He goes into a cave all by himself. The very cave that David is hiding in, and all of his men right there. This man who's caused him so much pain. Verse 4. "Then the men of David said to him, 'This is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" This is it. David could finish it. His men say, "Here's your opportunity. End the pain. End the misery. Take him out. Let's go to the throne, and I want you to put yourself in that position. Your enemy is right there." Saul was at David's mercy. That would be the time to do it. Would you take him? Let's see what David does. End of verse 4. "And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord.'" Isn't that amazing? David didn't kill Saul. All David did was cut a piece of his robe off, which Saul had obviously taken off and put somewhere else in the cave.
And David feels bad about even cutting off a little portion of his robe. You know why? Because David would not harm the Lord's anointed. That is, David would not raise a harmful hand against the person that God had put in authority. And God had put Saul in authority over the nation of Israel as the king. And he feels bad about it. He feels bad about even cutting off that robe, because that robe was a symbol of the king's royalty. It was his royal robe. And David thought, boy, I shouldn't have even done that. Folks, listen. In David's mind, God had put Saul in authority. And it was God's responsibility to take Saul out of authority. And so David, even though Saul has treated him so horribly, respects Saul in authority and refuses to harm him. You know, that is a concept, folks, that you see throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. God has put people in authority. He's the one who raises up kings. He's the one who takes kings off the throne. He's the one who puts presidents in place. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. David knew that. David wouldn't be the one to take matters into his own hands. He'd let God take Saul off the throne. That's a way Christians should deal with enemies. Maybe you're here this morning and your enemy is your boss at work. That person that just treats you cruelly and isn't fair. Or someone else in authority. You know, Christian, you shouldn't do that person harm. And in fact, you should respect that person. Maybe you don't like the president of your country. Or maybe some of you didn't like presidents that we've had in the past. Well, we need to respect them. We shouldn't harm them. God has put those people in authority. And we need to pray for them and respect them and refuse to do harm. Now listen, that doesn't mean that you can't take legal actions or take practical steps. Maybe you need to look for a new job or change a department. Or if you don't like the president, vote him out in a few years. But still, the concept is, even if we have a harsh person in authority, someone who's been an enemy, the Christian response is to respect that person's place of authority and not to harm him. That's what David did. Well, when David came back into the cave carrying only a corner of the robe, his men, I'm sure, were distraught. They were frustrated. They expected him to come back carrying Saul's head. And I'm sure that they're set on a course. Okay, you're not going to kill Saul, we will. Well, look what David did in verse 7. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. Folks, David did not retaliate. He did not get even. It says there that he restrained his servants. That's a Hebrew word that can mean to divide or to tear. The idea is his men were set on a course to kill Saul. And David tore them away from their objective. He refused to let there be retaliation. The Bible is clear. As Christians, we are not to retaliate against our enemies. That's a tough one, isn't it? We are not to repay evil for evil. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Folks, we are not to retaliate. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Can you do that? Isn't that hard? Isn't that tough? What do we like to do? We like to retaliate, don't we? Boy, I'll tell you. And we like to retaliate above and beyond what's happened to us. Man, if you give me a black eye, I'm coming after both of your eyes. If you knock out one of my teeth, I'm coming out of your whole, you know, all the teeth in your mouth. We like to go for it, don't we? Give them more and beyond. By the way, that's why the law of retaliation that we find in the Old Testament says an eye for an eye, one eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, one tooth. That was to keep them from exceeding the punishment and the crime, keeping the punishment so it fits the crime. But Jesus says, don't retaliate at all. Turn the other cheek. Tough, tough concept for us. Well, it's actually easy for us to understand. It's hard for us to put it into practice, isn't it? Sir Walter Scott had difficulty with the idea of turning the other cheek. But Jesus' words took on special meaning one day when Scott threw a rock at a stray dog to chase it away. His aim was straighter and his delivery stronger than he intended, for he hit the animal and broke its leg. Instead of running off, the dog limped over to him and licked his hand. Sir Walter never forgot that touching response, and he said, "That dog preached the Sermon on the Mount to me as few ministers have ever presented it." Scott said he had not found human beings so ready to forgive their enemies. Listen. That is a tough thing. My brother and sister in Christ, you are not to repay evil for evil. You are to overcome evil with good. It's so important you have to do that. And we see David doing that against this horrible enemy in his life. And it's tough. But the Lord calls us to do tough things, doesn't He? And He gives us His power and His strength to do it. So he lets Saul escape. The end of verse 7 says, Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. Verse 8, David also arose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, "My Lord, the king!" And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. Isn't that such humility in the life of David? We know that David was a very humble man. He had a good perspective on who he was. He had a good attitude about himself. He was filled with humility. And here we see him humbling himself before this man who's done so much damage. He says, "My Lord, the king." He stoops down right before him, puts his face to the ground and kneels down. That's humility. And that's another way that we should deal with enemies, brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to deal with humility. We need to treat our enemies in humility. We need to relate with our enemies in humility. And I think you need to be particularly humble with your enemies. Be gentle with them. Be tender with them. Don't be arrogant or prideful or angry. It'll stir up the pot, man. It'll add fuel to the fire. If you're gentle with a person, oftentimes what that will do is it'll put water on the fire. It'll cool things off. You know, the Bible says that a gentle word turns away what? Wrath. And that's so important. Specifically with your enemies, be humble towards them. Be gentle. I've seen that happen so many times in my life, and it's beautiful to watch. Beautiful. When I was working as an engineer in Albuquerque for a defense contractor, I was working with a team of engineers, and we were all working on this project. We were getting this project accomplished, and we were actually competing with another team of engineers in Los Angeles for another company. And we were talking and communicating with one another, and we started fighting with one another because each of us thought we were doing it right, you know. And we began to really butt heads, and it got really ugly. We'd have these horrible calls. It was sort of like a battle of the engineering nerds, if you can picture that. There they are protecting their technical stuff, you know. And it got so bad and so elevated that we had a special conference call. Their manager was going to get on the line, and our manager was going to get on the line, and they were going to talk it out. And we were ready for that, man. We were around the table. We hit the speakerphone. We're, manager, go get them. Let's do it. My manager blew me away. He had the most gentle, tender, humble conversation with that person on the other end of the line. I didn't expect it. But you know what? It changed the whole atmosphere. Everything changed from that point. And we were able to get along. A gentle word had stirred away wrath. Deal in humility with your enemies. David did that. David did that. And he continues to say to Saul in verse 9, David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eyes spared you, and I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' Moreover, my father, see, yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it." What's David doing here? Well, David's attempting to reason with Saul. This is diplomacy, not war. David is talking sense to Saul. He says, "Look, people are telling you the wrong thing about me. They're saying that I want to harm you. Hey, listen, if I wanted to harm you, King Saul, right now you'd be dead. But I didn't do it. I spared you. I'm not in rebellion, King. I haven't sinned. I'm not doing evil against you." Reasoning with the enemy. Talking sense. Christian, that's what we should do with our enemies. Let's try to reason with them. Let's not reach out and harm them. Let's not start going behind their back and stirring up things and doing all this activity. Actually try to talk to them. Try to talk sense to them. Try to speak reason to them. Give it all you can. Now, I do realize that most of the enemies that we have in our lives are that way because they're unreasonable. You noticed? You can't even talk sense to them. Try. Keep trying. And do it with humility. And do it with love. That's what we see David trying. Look at what else we learn, and I think this next one is absolutely key to our dealing with enemies. Verse 12, David says to Saul, "Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, 'Wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you.' After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? Therefore, let the Lord be judge and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand." Folks, this is absolutely key, and you have to be able to do this in dealing with those difficult people in your life. You have got to get to a point where you place that in the hands of the Lord. You've got to give all of that hurt, all of that bitterness, all of that resentment, all of that desire in your life to get even. You got to give that to God. It'll drive you crazy if you don't. David's done that. He says to Saul, "The Lord is going to judge between you and I. I'm going to let the Lord plead my case." Giving that situation to the Lord. That may take some time, depending on how bad someone has hurt you. But you got to get there. As a Christian, you got to give those problems to the Lord. They're way too strong for you. You need to do that. And if you're here this morning and you're having a problem with someone in your life and it's one of these things that just stirs up in you, this person has done you so much harm, there are some wonderful psalms in the Bible that will help you. David wrote many of these psalms. And I just want to mention one or just read part of one. Psalm 31. Listen to what David wrote. "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." Meditate on scriptures like that. Scriptures that tell you to put your life in the hands of God. To put that situation in the hands of God. To put that enemy in the hands of God. My brother and sister in Christ, if you put it in the hands of God, you will be in good hands. He will take care of you. He'll take care of the situation. Hebrews chapter 10 says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Listen, it's not all that fearful for somebody to fall into your hands. It's a lot more fearful for a person to fall into the hands of the living God. Put your case in his courts. Give it over to him. David was able to do that with Saul, who done him great harm. Listen, if you don't do that, it'll stew in you. You'll become bitter. You'll become obsessed. You'll become angry. True story. Tokyo police recently arrested a man who was upset over being denied entrance to graduate school 14 years ago. Since that day, he has averaged about 10 phone calls a night between the hours of 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. to the former professor whom he blames for his lost opportunity. Those 14 years of annoying phone calls totaled up to over 50,000 calls. There's a man who went nuts. There's a man who made calls every night, and maybe you hold that kind of resentment against someone else, and maybe you're not making physical phone calls, but you're calling in your mind every night. You keep running over, "Well, this is what I should have said. I should have done this. Oh, next time I see him, I'm going to do this." You'll go nuts. All the joy in your life will be zapped. You'll become a bitter person. You have got to give those feelings and that situation to the Lord. Let him be your judge. Let him be your defense. It's the only way, really, to make it through those difficult relationships. And if you do that, you'll be able to do the other things, like walk in humility in front of them. Respect them. Very important. Well, I want you to turn to chapter 26 now. We'll get to Saul's response to that. But in chapter 26, we have another example. David is given another opportunity. Look at verse 1. It says, "Now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, 'Is David not hiding in the hill of Hakilah opposite Jeshimon?' Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness. And Saul encamped in the hill of Hakilah, which is opposite Jeshimon by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped, and David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, 'Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?' And Abishai said, 'I will go down with you.' So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to David, 'God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time.'" You're going to see in chapter 24, Saul repents. He says, "All right, David." And they go their separate ways. But by chapter 26, Saul's forgotten, hasn't he? Same thing. He takes 3,000 chosen men, hunting down David, going to destroy him. Dedicated enemy. Very frustrating person to be with. You know why? Because Saul was one of those people that repented, then forgot. Repented, then forgot. Repented, then refused to change. Repents, then reneges. Ever dealt with a person like that? That's a tough one, isn't it? Oh, they tell you, "Look, everything's going to be okay now. I'm going to really change." So you say, "All right, let's give this another go." What happens? Later, they go back on their promise. Well, this is David's second time. And he knows Saul repents, but he changes his mind. Listen, man, if you're David, what do you do? Another opportunity. There's the spear. David could have thought, "Look, this guy's not serious. I need to do him in. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me," right? Gonna take him out. No more chances for Saul. How many chances should we give people? How many chances should we give people, brother and sister in Christ? How many times should we forgive other people? You know, Peter asked Jesus that very question once. He said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" "Up to 7 times, Lord." Jesus said, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. In other words, indefinitely. We're to give people chances, folks. We're to forgive people, folks. Even the tough ones. Forgive them. It is the hardest thing in the world to do, but I want you to understand this morning that it makes you the better person. It makes you a better man. It makes you a better woman. It makes you a better Christian. Someone said, "Doing an injury puts you below your enemy. Revenging one makes you even with him. Forgiving one sets you above him." And that really is true. Be the better person. Forgive that person. And it does take the power of God, doesn't it? But the Lord promises that He will give you strength to forgive. Second time, David's got the opportunity. What does he do? Verse 9. David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said furthermore, "As the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head, and let us go." And then David will make himself known. And in verse 18, or verse 17, Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is that your voice, my son David?" David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Why does my lord thus pursue his servant? What have I done, or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore, please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, 'Go serve other gods.' So now do not let my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly." Amazingly. Another time, another opportunity, and we see David doing the same thing. He's not retaliating. He's attempting to reason. He's dealing in humility. He's respecting the position of authority. He's giving Saul another chance. Verse 22. And David answered and said, "Here is the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and get it. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed." And watch this, verse 24. "And indeed, as your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued much in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation." Then Saul said to David, "May you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. I want you to notice another way that we should deal with our enemies is David dealt with Saul. In verse 24, we see clearly that David valued the life of Saul. David says, "As I have valued your life, so value mine." My brother and sister in Christ, we are to value human life, aren't we? Even when that human life happens to be someone like Saul in our life, who's doing us great harm. Folks, I want you to see that person in your life, that enemy, whoever it is, whoever's done you that harm, that horrible situation that you're in, you need to see that person as a true human being, a living being with a soul that's going to live forever and ever and ever. That person is important. That person is valuable. That person needs the Lord, just like you needed the Lord. Just like your friends need the Lord. Just like we all need the Lord. You need to see that person that way. I love what one bishop once said. He said that he tried to see the eyes of Christ in everyone that was against him for the last 15 years or for a previous 30 years in his life. All of his enemies, he would try to see Christ in their eyes. Can you do that? Can you attempt to do that? Can you try to do that? See people as valuable. Those are tough things. But that is the Bible's way of dealing with enemies for God's people. See them that way. Do those things. Now, I want us to go back to chapter 24 and 26 very quickly, because I want you to see Saul's reaction to all of this. Go back to chapter 24. And I want to mention a verse to you in the Bible that will really apply to Saul's reaction. Listen to me read Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. Listen carefully to this. It says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you." See, if you treat enemies good, it will heap coals of burning on their head. That hurts them more when you react good. When you return good for evil. Because it shows that you're the better person. And notice how Saul reacts to David's goodness here. Chapter 24, verse 16. "So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, 'Is this your voice, my son David?' And Saul lifted up his voice and wept." It's a very emotional thing when someone treats you well whom you've harmed. He wept. Verse 18. "And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me." Excuse me, verse 17. "Then he said to David, 'You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day." Saul knew that David was the better man. He says, "You're more righteous than I am." And that's what you find out when somebody treats you good. Verse 20, "And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand." Saul knew in his heart that the Lord was with David. Saul knew in his heart that David would get the kingdom. Saul's been fighting against that. Saul's been fighting against the will of the Lord. Saul's tried to create havoc in the life of one of his people, but Saul knows that David is the man. And Saul is finding out that David is the better man. And it's causing him great pain, I'm sure. Look at chapter 26. Verse 21. The second time. "Then Saul said, 'I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly.'" Saul knew that he was being a creep. Saul knew that he was in error. Saul knew that he was foolish. Verse 25, "Then Saul said to David, 'May you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail.'" Folks, in this whole episode, Saul knows that he's fighting against the Lord. And Saul is learning by David's kindness and goodness toward him what a fool he really is. Now, I want you to understand this morning that if David would have gotten ugly with Saul, if he would have returned fire for fire, punch for punch, trying to do harm, acting arrogantly, not speaking gently, what would that have done Well, it would have justified Saul more and more. It would have given Saul more and more justification. Yeah, see, he's a creep just like me. But David, in being good and kind and gentle and giving chances, oh man, that drives Saul crazy. Very, very important. That proverb says, if you return goodness for evil, they'll suffer more than if you return evil for evil. And the Bible also says that if you do that with your enemies, the Lord Himself will reward you. And David was going to be rewarded, wasn't he? He would eventually become the king. And God would take Saul off the throne. Folks, David models for us, as Christians, the way we are to treat enemies. Now, I want you to turn very quickly as we close to Matthew chapter 5. Because I want you to see the New Testament mandate. Matthew chapter 5, this is in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Look at verse 43. This is what Jesus told His followers to do. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Whoa. What a challenge. Listen, your treatment of the difficult people in your life, your treatment of the enemies in your life, as a Christian, needs to be one of love. And you know what? That's an indication that you're born again. Because that is not our natural tendency, is it? That's not our natural tendency. Jesus said, look, the pagans in the world greet the people they love. They greet their friends. As a Christian, is that all you're going to do? Hey, show some supernatural power in your life. Greet those who've done you harm. Love them. Reach out to them. And look what it says very clearly. Love your enemies, verse 44. Bless those who curse you. Somebody curses you, what do? Bless them. Tough. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Challenging, isn't it? The Lord promises to give us His help. And listen, that last point there is key. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Pray for them. Those kinds of battles will be won in prayer. Do you think about that person and maybe you start to get these hostile thoughts? Just stop everything right there and pray for that person. Pray that the Lord would bless them. That is how we are to treat our enemies. If you have a person like that in your life, a person like Saul, you need prayer. And you need to treat them that way, Christian. Maybe you don't have any enemies. Well, you will. Or maybe you've had enemies in the past. We will all have those people in our lives.
I love what the little girl wrote to her preacher. She said, "Dear preacher, I heard you say to love our enemies. I'm only 6 and do not have any yet. I hope to have some when I'm 7. Your friend, Love Amy." We will have enemies. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been an enemy to someone else. You're playing the part of Saul in another person's life. You've done someone a whole lot of harm. Whether it be right now or in your past, repent. And don't repent like Saul repented. Repent for good. Humble yourself. You set up a time with that person that you've harmed so greatly, and you talk it out and you ask for forgiveness, and you set forward, you go forward and you move. You know, the Bible teaches that before we became Christians, we were enemies of God. At enmity with God. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated His love for us in that Christ died for us. Hey, Jesus reached out to you when you were an enemy and died for you. Died on the cross for your sins. The Bible says we can forgive anyone because He's forgiven us. Oh, but the Lord needs to help us in these matters, doesn't He? So let's all bow our heads and let's ask for His help. Father, we pray that You would give us help to deal with people in our lives that have hurt us so much. And Lord, You know the relationships that we have. You know all about our lives. You know about the hurts in the past. Lord, I pray for healing in our relationships this morning. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who has not let a certain matter go. Help them right now to give that to You, to decide in their heart to give that to You. To strip away all that bitterness. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who has not yet become Your friend, who has not yet become a member of Your family. You need to understand the Bible clearly teaches that we have all sinned and we're all fallen short of God's glory. We have no place in the presence of God because we're sinners. And the simple truth of the gospel message is that God sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sins. Your sins. My sins. When He died on the cross, the sins of the world were placed on Him, and He died in our place. And then He rose again that third day, victorious over death. He's alive today to be your Savior. You can talk to Him directly. You ask Jesus to forgive you of all your sins. And He will put you at peace with God. Friendship with Him. Is that you this morning? Then you simply offer this prayer. Just speak it to Him in your heart. Lord, be my friend. I want to enter a relationship with You. Jesus, come into my heart. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Savior. Change my life forever. And then, Lord, give me the ability to deal with all these commands that are so hard to obey. And Lord, I pray that for all Your people this morning, that we would yield ourselves to You afresh.
and follow you and do what's right, no matter what the cost or how difficult it is, for pleasing you is what it's all about, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and we'll sing a closing song together. And after this song, I'd like you to come forward. If you prayed that prayer, if you asked Jesus to be your Savior for the very first time, God bless you. Let's sing.
Wonderful week. May God bless you.